This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is you do at 11 o'clock. Whatever it is you do, though. I'm happy that you do that, and that you're doing that, with me. I'm joined in studio this morning by the astute, the illustrious, the politically savvy one, Obi Roberts. He's in studio with me this morning. He's the former aspirant candidate for the constituency of Golden Gates. He is, the vice chairman of the?
National vice chairman
of the Progressive Liberal Party. And he joins me in studio this morning because I kind of want to have a frank and open conversation with a PLP that I think is a PLP reasonably in touch with what's on the ground, reasonably in touch with a level of sanity that I can actually tolerate, because some of them are insane. I'm telling you that not all of them are here with us, but I wanted to talk to someone whose head wasn't in the cloud, who I believe may have had an opportunity to go around and make an assessment, and based on his assessment, based on what some of the facts are, based on what some of the assumptions and suppositions are, is able to tell me why the Progressive Liberal Party ought to be the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Now, I know, of course, people are going to say that there is such a thing as the minister fatigue. But I invite my friends of the Progressive Liberal Party to not simply accept the minister fatigue as the panacea that will take care of what is needed at the polls. I contend that when I look at seats like North Abaco that I thought was easily winnable for the Progressive Liberal Party, I no longer feel that way. Why? I think the candidate on the ground is just not pulling his weight. When I look at seats like, where else do I feel that way about? I look at seats like Bamboo Town. I live right across the street from Bamboo Town. I'm not exactly sure. I see they're now getting their paraphernalia going. A seat that I thought was easily winnable for the BLP. I can no longer, with great assurance, say that the PLP can pull that off. I look at seats like North Eleuthera. And I begin to hear and see the news clippings. And even though you hear the one or two dissenting voices that say Ricky Mackey could take it to the bank, that he ain't going win down here in North Eleuthera, that's not the general consensus. When I talk to people from Eleuthera, they all contend that, you know, while Ricky may not be the best invention since hot bread met sliced cheese, for whatever it is worth, the economy of Eleuthera is beginning to pick back up. And even if you go down to places like Exumo, which I think the Progressive Liberal Party will win, simply because I believe the deputy leader is prepared to do whatever it takes to win in Exumo, people are beginning to now credit the boom in that economy to what's happening with the home porting under the tenure of the FNM. All right? Now, do I believe there have been missed opportunities? Massive ones. I believe that I hear now the critics are beginning to call for us to have a moving away of the fighting of the COVID pandemic around or from around our major hospital. I'm not going to tell you where I heard that idea first. But it seems to now be a discussion that people want to have. All right. If you look as if you look at constituencies like Weston and Bimini, I got videos just as recent as yesterday from Captain Glenn Bain. You know him; he's a friend here over at Unleash on Guardian Radio. And there are two cruise ships tied up, and people are all over Bimini. The Biminites no longer feel the pinch of the pandemic. It looks as though their economy is at full throttle. The PLP is going to have a strategy, O.B. Roberts. What is that strategy going to be? That is the question. And are the people that are part of the team that make it the Progressive Liberal Party, you as vice party chairman, national chairman, are you all putting in the legwork?
Particularly it's interesting you speak about Bimini.
Mm-hmm. 1 second. Something's happening with my headphones. Go on.
It's interesting that you speak about Bimini. Mm-hmm. If you recall under the last PLP government, what the Progressive Liberal Party was able to do down that bay.
Mm-hmm.
You recall, with the government and the resorts world, mm-hmm. they was able to build a pier down there
yeah.
that was able to bring in a Bahamas fast ferry, super fast ferry to Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
They were averaging 1,500 persons per week
right.
to the community of Bimini. That was the fastest growing economy outside of New Providence in our archipelago.
Mm-hmm.
You remember now, we had a great deal of resistance from other...
the environmental groups.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
And when all that stuff quieted down, Bimini was thriving
mm-hmm.
under the Progressive Liberal Party. We saw a 93% increase in tourism rebounds from 1 year to another. That also helped the increase in our tourist boom.
Mm-hmm.
In which we arrive at 6 million tourists.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the FNM tout about them and 6.5 million tourists, they ride the Progressive Liberal Party's hard work under the Ministry of Tourism under the last PLP government.
Mm-hmm.
And Bimini was one of the major catalysts of the family island boom that we experienced down the bay. You couldn't find rooms down that way. Resorts were... You also had in when you go outside the gate, persons were also benefiting from rental spaces. You had mm-hmm. persons who were moving that way for employment opportunities to work for Resorts World and everything else. You had the opening of the casino that took place under mm-hmm. the PLP government. You had the opening of the Hilton that took place just before we lost, maybe about 4 or 5 months before we lost. Bimini saw a resurgence down that way, and we are not surprised that Bimini continues to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that tourism primarily we is of no surprise of us of all. Beautiful, picturesque community, and that's going to continue to go on down in Bimini.
The issue there, though, Obi, is mm-hmm. even with all of that thrust, right? Even with all of that mm-hmm. push,
mm-hmm.
you were talking about the legacy left by Perry Gladstone Christie.
Mm-hmm.
Amidst building his own legacy, Perry Christie could not ward off or swat away the notion of the Christie fatigue.
Mm.
We saw the end result of the Christie fatigue.
Mm.
How then is the Progressive Liberal Party going to dig itself out of the bureau and get itself back to a place of elevation among the Bahamian electorate if generally in the public we hear that the leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party isn't one that is shimmery or that people are ecstatic about? And although the prime minister on the side opposing isn't someone that the Bahamian population is equally as ecstatic about, you still have the laboring memory of the Christie administration. And despite your contentment that Christie put this project on the ground, okay, that's what Christie did, right? What is the plan that the PLP will offer people for a new, bright, bold, these are your words, new, bright,
mm-hmm.
bold decisions and policies, right? Mm-hmm. What is the new, bright, bold, big thing that the Progressive Liberal Party believes
mm-hmm.
that they will put on the ground in a way that will get the Bahamian people behind them coming in this next general election?
Okay, well, Levon, mm-hmm. without preempting our platform and our plans,
sure,
because we're just waiting for minutes to finally decide to have the fortitude to decide when the election date is going to be,
mm-hmm.
which many anticipate is going to be very, very soon. And which we will articulate our plans to the Bahamian people. But I just want to touch on this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, in my opinion, that cost us the government the last time is we did a poor job, of educating the Bahamian public on many of our accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we had the Free National Movement was able to paint a negative picture of the Progressive Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what we're going to do is continue to build off of some of the things that we have not completed. we had began a national development plan that we left behind for the Free National Movement government, which is still catching dust to this day. That is something that is not a PLP idea, but for a national development to advance our country for 25, 50 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, we just had Hurricane Dorian. In that plan for Hurricane Dorian, Levan, was for climate change and for hurricane possibilities that we could encounter that would help us not stop a hurricane, but help us to better adjust and deal with some of the maybe catastrophic things that we dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And better organize ourselves, because what we saw with Hurricane Dorian was it was a catastrophic storm,
mm-hmm.
but we responded poorly afterwards.
Right.
We had many people who had perished. We still had many people who were unaccounted for. The situation with the burial of the graves down that way, but many persons didn't have a chance to bury their loved ones. Certain things of that nature, sensitive matters, could have been addressed differently. Under this PLP government, in terms of our platform, we're going to put our people first, primarily. And because many Bahamians feel disenfranchised under this FNM government right now. They feel like they're second-place citizens. One of the things that we have always hold firmly in the PLP is Bahamianization. We are not seeing this under this FNM government.
Mm.
If you want to speak about the stark difference between the PLP and the FNM, one party believes in the advancement of its own people through Bahamianization, and we clearly see what the Free National Movement has done in terms of how they treat their Bahamian people. Our people, we, the people, when you weaken our immigration laws to allow non-Bahamians to come in and compete for jobs versus your own people. We have seen the implementation of the Commercial Enterprise Act, in which allows a non-Bahamian who come in with $250,000 to qualify. They can submit their application, and if it's not approved in 14 days, I mean, if it's not seen in 14 days, it is automatically approved. Tell me when any Bahamian, like me or you, could put in for anything, anywhere in this country, and within 14 days, whether it's seen or not, it's automatically approved. But you have the red carpet treatment that is rolled out for non-Bahamians, but not the same as given to Bahamians.
Mm.
That is just one example of how you see many Bahamians feel frustrated, disenfranchised in their country, and only seek opportunities for them to advance themselves in our country right now, Levi.
I don't disagree that I think this administration has been a little kind to those that are not necessarily what you would consider the grassroots Bahamian. I don't know, though, of those things, you know, and I have this argument all the time about people like Rees Chipman, which is a lot of time I think Rees has a wonderful argument. I just don't know if that argument touches the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that arguments like that one will be, while magnificent in their splendor, do not necessarily materialize into grits, rice, and bread. All right. And
meat and potatoes.
Yeah. So people are at a place where their houses are being taken from them. Tenants are losing their tenancy.
Mm-hmm.
People are not able to buy school uniforms for their children.
Mm-hmm.
People are not able to put gas in their cars. Many people are now going into crafts that ordinarily they never would even have considered.
Have to recreate themselves.
And so the question becomes, why would I change an administration that has brought me midway through the pandemic? Why would I just not let these people finish and hope that because we don't have to have a change in direction, the continuity and consistency of an administration will lead me to a greater destination, rather than to bring some fellas in who on day one will have to check the books, who on day one will have to re-strategize, who on day one will have to appoint and disappoint, who on day one will have to restructure organizations, institutions, whether they are ministries or departments or authorities. And while that has, it takes about 4 months to set up government. Do we have enough time, right? While the cows are all, or while the grass is growing green, there will be dying cows the day after election. Is the Progressive Liberal Party ready? And I don't like this whole ready on day one nonsense. No one is ready on day one, because on day one you're getting swearing. You can't be ready that day. But does the Progressive Liberal Party have a plan that is able to mitigate the damage already caused and begin to not turn us around, but accelerate the process so that the people that are feeling the pinch, the pain of the pandemic, are able to now find themselves in a position where they begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, Levan, it's not going to be an easy task, and it's not going to be a painless task.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, besides the pandemic that we're faced in right now, we are faced with a major economic crisis in our country, a global economic crisis.
Sure.
We have a lot of people who are unemployed. The moment the PLP one is not going to be automatic, okay, persons are going to come employed, person's problems are going to evaporate. No, we're going to work through a process where we're going to remain in contact and communications with the people, mm-hmm. and also involve the people as we move forward as a new government. Mm-hmm. What we saw with this government, and let me give you some examples. The last PLB government, what we've done, the National Training Agency, which we saw more than 1,000 young Bahamians through the ages of 16 to 25 mm-hmm. receive certifications. You won't hardly see anything of that right now. BAMSI. See, these are initiatives that Bahamians felt, touched, and was able to take advantage of. We don't hear hardly anything from BAMSI under this F&M administration. Okay? Take a look at sports in this country. It's gone the way of the dinosaur right now, where this government primarily saw with IFFF. Mm-hmm. We don't see anything with the collegiate football games down here. Many things we've seen right now that is gone, and they try to blame everything on Hurricane Dorian and the pandemic. Mm-hmm. These were decisions that were made. IFFF was canceled before any of those two things came down. Mm-hmm. We're looking at opportunities for our people right now and to inspire hope. That is one of the things that many Bahamians are feeling in their hearts right now. This government lacks the ability to inspire. And their policies, on top of that, basically kill the hopes of many people in this country. The Progressive Liberal Party, under Philip Ray Davis and Chester Cooper, mm-hmm. our plan primarily is to address the concerns of many of the average Bahamians and to resuscitate the middle class that feels that they've been decimated, targeted and decimated by this government through their taxes and their policies. When you come in and you didn't campaign on VAT, when you campaign against VAT, when you were in the opposition, mm-hmm. and then the moment you come in, within a year, you increase VAT by 60%. Without the dialogue of the people, without even the dialogue or the engagement of the business community. Mm-hmm. We saw how the business community was very annoyed that they wasn't even involved, because that's where you get your money from when you collect your taxes, particularly with VAT. Mm-hmm. So it just shows how this government wasn't prepared. But for us right now, and we have some new faces, but we also have some experienced faces. Mr. Philip Ray Davis is one. You also have Senator Michael Dovell. You also have Senator Fred Mitchell. All right, you have the little lady from Glenis, from Angleston. I'm Glenis Hannah Martin. We're the combination of some youthful, very talented candidates that we have right now who are quite able and capable of leading us into the right direction of turning around this country.
Mm. I noticed, and I want to stick a pin there before we get too fast. I noticed you talked about the taxes and the implementation of the taxes by the Free National Movement. Mm-hmm. There is something that I fundamentally disagree with in the PLP's economic plan. That is the reduction of value added tax to 10%. To me, it just doesn't make sense. I don't see how it will touch the ground. I will tell you why. If VAT works as well as they say it works, mm-hmm. right? There is a song sang by a little three-piece band that I like so much. It says, if it's in there already, don't take it out. All right? Mm-hmm. It ain't already. We ain't got to touch that. But we could figure out how to reduce the pain. Right? And I am of the opinion that if the PLP was serious about touching people where it mattered most, mm-hmm. then why does the economic plan not talk about the removal of VAT off of all food items? Why does the economic plan not talk about the removal of VAT off of all medical procedures and medication or medicine? Why does it not talk about the removal of VAT off all electricity, except for maybe the ones $10,000 a month or thereabout, because you know those ones are for corporations. Mm-hmm. That way, the small businessman is able to have a fighting chance. Mama is able to put bread on the table. Instantly, we see that money, that 12%, goes back into the pocket of the poor man, right? Instantly, overnight. Why then would you say something to me like, we are going to reduce VAT to 10% for the first year and then crunch the numbers to see whether or not it shocked the economy in the right direction? I don't think we are going to have enough time to play those kinds of games of economic modules. Because what that turns into in my mind is a bunch of smart dudes in a room drawing up a bunch of graphs while people are outside the room starving. There is an instant way to put 12% back in people's pockets. And I don't hear that. I don't hear that kind of thinking coming from the PLP. Why not?
Well, I'll say this, Sullivan. You remember when we implemented VAT in 2015, we came in at 7.5%. Mm-hmm. Okay. Two, we did not have the benefit of Bahama being open as well.
Sure.
And those 5,000 persons that were employed. Mm-hmm. But you know what the Progressive Liberal Party had? We had certain financial mechanisms in place, like the Revenue Enhancement Unit, mm-hmm. which we were collecting between $25 to $30 million a month. You know what the Free National Movement did when they came in? They dismantled that almost immediately, Levi. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why they had decreased VAT by 60%, besides giving major companies that were earning $50 million annually tax relief in some of their business licenses and other incentives. Mm-hmm. So they had to make up a shortfall in somewhere else. What they did, they threw it on the backs of the Bahamian people. The Progressive Liberal Party have a plan, you know. That's why we implemented it at 7.5%, at not as 15% as you had the persons out that way belly aching out in the streets. Mm-hmm. We had a plan, and it was moving very well. I think we collected between 1.4 to 1.5 billion before we left office, mm-hmm. between 2015 to 2017.
Okay.
And we didn't, and Bahama just opened April 21st, 2017. Now we have VAT with that one. We have VAT for like 6 years, 7 years now.
About that.
We have a benefit. We have a benefit of now Bahama being opening, employees opening, more money coming into the stream. These are some of the things that are possibly being taken a look at on how we could possibly ease the burden of maybe reducing VAT to 10%. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want to show our hand right now because we know we have the Free National Movement out that way listening to see how they could possibly glean from this and maybe possibly try to steal some of our ideas. But when Dr. Minnis rings that bell, then you will hear our platform articulated by our leader and our deputy leader and our quadri of talented candidates as we are preparing for war. And what I mean is political war for us to win the government and bring order, to restore order back to the Bahamian, back to the country.
As the Free National Movement is listening to OB, I imagine that there are the boys underneath the Gannett tree that are listening as well. And again, I think the difficulty with the Progressive Liberal Party is, I don't know, I heard you say that the Free National Movement is an inspiring hope. But I don't know whether or not I can see this as the Progressive Liberal Party either of 67. Like, I don't know if when people think about the Progressive Liberal Party today, that mm-hmm. they think about it in the way your father may have thought about it. Well, not my daddy, he would only been four. But and other people's fathers who were old enough to consider what the Progressive Liberal Party meant. It meant a chance at owning country. It meant a chance at greater education. It meant a chance at greater healthcare. It meant a chance at wider possibilities. It meant a chance at independence. But the Progressive Liberal Party today, not without fault, cannot and not refute that there is a deficit of trust with the Progressive Liberal Party. The PLP of today cannot refute that there have been missteps in their recent past mm-hmm. that have still left an unsavory taste in the mouth of Bahamian people. So while the Free National Movement is sitting and listening to what the plans are, my question is, how soon will the Progressive Liberal Party come with its platform in a way that will cleanse itself of whatever the perceived unrighteousness is over the over its most immediate past? When will the Progressive Liberal Party deal with things like the fact that people on a daily basis are able to point out that Mr. Davis oversaw the Bamsey fiasco, that under Mr. Davis, there were difficulties in the Ministry of Works with contracts, etc., that under Mr. Davis, things like the LOI happened. What does the Progressive Liberal Party intend to do to regain confidence, not just in an attempt to beat the Free National Movement, mm-hmm. but in an attempt to get the Bahamian people to galvanize its behind its new prime minister should Mr. Davis become the prime minister?
Point taken, Levon. We have made some mistakes in our previous administration, and it was a result, as we saw at the polls, in some ways, not to point any fingers specifically, but we did had some candidates who probably weren't the best, who were not in touch with members of their constituency. Also, you had in the public's eye the perception of some wrongdoing or conflict of interest that did not sit well. One of the things I touched on earlier is one of the things I think we ought to do better is our public relations and the education to the Bahamian people. Instead of allowing things to linger or fester that have no truth but grow legs, and some people think that it is true. And even some of our many accomplishments that we did not do a very good job of explaining. Many people truly appreciate what the PLP accomplished after the May 2017 election and knew all of the great things that we was able to accomplish. But that was after the fact. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to do it and explain to persons what transpired. Mm-hmm. We have to also and rededicate ourselves to the people, because after we lost, we traveled the archipelago. We went on a fact-finding mission to listen to people's concerns, hear what they felt about us, where we went wrong, and what we need to do to correct ourselves. We have a new leader. Mm-hmm. Philip Ray Davis. We have a new deputy leader, Chester Cooper. We have a new national chairman, Fred Mitchell. And we had a new national deputy chairman in Robin Lyons and many new faces in the leadership core of the party. We revamped our party's constitution to engage and involve more younger persons in the party. And we've listened to the concerns and the cries of the people. And is it enough? Besides that, we still, once we become the government, we have to maintain and be and fulfill our promises, our pledges to the Bahamian people. That is the one thing that they want to see. If the Progressive Liberal Party is the party of change, which has always been in the past, and remove itself from part of the negative stigma that had dogged them for some individuals in the party, just to be a party of your word, fulfill your commitments and promises, and put the Bahamian people first. Mm. And that is what we are going to do in the Progressive Liberal Party under the new leadership of our party of Philip Brave Davis and I, Chester Cooper. Levi, another thing I want to bring up. I see this nonsense, and I want to make this clear, of the Free National Movement and these nasty attacks on our leader, Philip Brave Davis, particularly when they talk about what he has done in Cat Island. Let me remind the people, primarily, that we had 25 years of Sir Lyndon from 67 to 1992. Mm-hmm. Post-Pendleton era, there have been four Free National Movement governments to two PLP-elected governments. When they talk about the development of different constituencies, and particularly the leader of our Her Majesty's opposition right now, Philip Ray Davis, which he's been a member of parliament for four years under this FNM government. It is the FNM government's responsibility as government to develop, if they can, these communities like Cat Island. They have the public treasury. They have the ministries under their portfolio. Mm-hmm. When I sit there and I see the nonsense, it was very distasteful when they went to the Family Islands and they went to a Roman Catholic church. And they made a spectacle of that. And talk about what he did with roads. Mr. Davis was the person responsible, the Ministry of Works. He was the one who was able to get a clinic in Cat Island. Got it signed. I think it was $6 million. When the Free National Movement won, they came and they put a halt to that. But yet they want to criticize him for the lack of development in Cat Island. Also, you have the tourism center, which one of our campaign generals down there in Cat Island highlighted recently, that he was building a tourism center on Cat Island for persons to come in and benefit for tourists and Bahamians alike. They came and they canceled that after 4 years. But yet they want to be disingenuous and go to the Bahamian people and said, Mr. Davis didn't do anything to try to elevate or to build up Cat Island. They also forget it was Mr. Davis who also refurbished the San Salvador Airport down that bay. You also have the water deal that you have the chairman of Water and Sewage, Adrian Gibson, who's been doing the work around the southern archipelago of islands. That deal was signed under Mr. Davis when he was Minister of Works and Deputy Prime Minister. But we must not listen to the propaganda. We must do our homework and find out what is going on. I will tell the Free National Movement, campaign on your record as government. When you cannot campaign on your record as government, because they have none, Levan, they will try to deflect and distract from the Bahamian people's best interests of what they have not accomplished and try to mislead the Bahamian people on what Mr. Davis has not done. And that is a bunch of nonsense I've ever heard in my life. It was Mr. Davis who corrected their mishap with the road improvement project. You remember when they had a cost run of over $100 million? Mm-hmm. All right? It was Mr. Davis who had to come in and inherit that. When you had many businesses that were shut down throughout New Providence because they went through a whole massive road improvement project at the same time. People forget that was under Mr. Davis's watch and leadership. As Minister of Works, he was responsible for all of the capital works that took place not only in New Providence but throughout the archipelago. All of the stuff that he saw took place throughout, that was under Mr. Davis.
It seems, though, that the PLP has fallen flat-footed, Obi. I mean, I can tell you as somebody who is paid to watch it, right?
I'm listening.
Whether or not I actually want to or not, it is my job to watch and see what it looks like, right?
Mm-hmm. Flat-footed out. I recall
during the aspirin candidacy or aspirin candidate period, it seemed as though the PLP had the engines fired. They were running on all three, and they were in good water.
Mm-hmm.
The aspirants debut has ended. Mm-hmm. All of the candidates are picked now. Mm-hmm. I see a whole lot less movement by the PLP. I see a whole lot less activity by the PLP. And I get it. We are in the middle of a pandemic. But I mean, you're able to have large congregations any other time you desire. So I'm not sure if I can understand why the campaign efforts have been dressed back so much. I have to admit, I have seen you all making the media rounds. Sure, but it just I always brag about the PLP's ability to turn the engines on. I tell people it everywhere I go. Once the SSPLP cranks the engines, you can feel the thrust. I don't care where you're standing in the archipelago.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me, feels to me like the PLP is only going ahead right now on its center engine, and the starboard and port engines are off. She's just keeping pace. I think that there were easily winnable seats that I do not to this day believe are easily winnable anymore for the PLP, and I just don't feel like the candidate on the ground is doing enough to push the thrust for people to feel it. People ought to be talking. There is no way the one name coming out of Bamboo Town is still Renwood Wells. I ask three people, what was it, Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the Progressive Liberal Party coming out of Bamboo Town? They cannot tell me. Residents of Bamboo Town. They cannot tell me.
You haven't heard of Patricia DeVoe.
They do not know the name. And that is amazing to me, because these are the people that will have to show up to the poll to vote for Mr. DeVoe. And I think that by now, 6 months in, 7 months away, and if you're asking me, August 26th ain't far, that's when I believe it to be. If they don't know her name today, is the PLP relying on its former years that people will just show up and say, man, I guarantee is the PLP anticipating that people will come on election day so frustrated with the prime minister that they just raise their hand and say, show me the line to vote for the PLP? Because I don't think that's what will happen, Obi. I think the candidates have got to put a little more oomph into it.
Well, I'd say this to you, Levan. Everyone knows that this government is extremely unpopular. But we don't want to win just because the people are angry at this government that has failed them so badly. We want to win because the people endorse our detailed plans for change. So that we are focused, and we introduce our economic plan in March. And we are going to share and promote our proposals to transform the economy with people every day. And that's what some of our candidates are doing on the ground. And what we are doing, Levan, is this. This COVID pandemic has presented some challenges to us right now. In terms of, we have to make sure that our candidates and our campaigners remain healthy. And we also have to maintain also the same safety for the residents as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Once you have, I think you've seen this also, all throughout social media, our candidates that have been on the ground campaigning in different constituencies, including Bamboo Town.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Mr. DeVoe on many occasions traverse through Bamboo Town. We've seen also Ms. Pia Glover role in Golden Gates. We've seen Baca's role in South Beach. We have also seen Mr. Mario Boleg in Garden Hills.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've seen Wade Watson in Bain and Grantstown. We've seen Jomo Campbell in Centerville. All right. We've seen many of our candidates, particularly up in Canada, and Yamacraw with Zane Lightburn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And these are pictures and videos that have been flooded all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
So our soldiers are on the ground with our candidates and campaign workers to ensure that our message is heard loud and clear, but also not only our message, but we want to hear the cries and concerns of many of the residents right now who are voting for change and who are waiting so eagerly and anticipating right now when Dr. Menace does decide to have the fortitude to ring this bell and dissolve the House, that the Bahamian people would send him a loud message. A loud message that the FNM will be voted out of office and the PLP will be voted in.
You talked about the pandemic. I'm going to open the lines right after this. 323-62-32-325-4316-325-4259. I'm talking to Obi Roberts. He's the one of the vice chairmen of the Progressive Liberal Party. You talked about the pandemic. You talked about the goings on in the pandemic. There are people that are sleeping outside on an open veranda in the rain at PMH. That will be the PLP's problem overnight should Mr. Davis become the prime minister. Mm-hmm. I hear the economic plan. We are in an economic crisis, but we are simultaneously in a healthcare crisis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I believe that there's going to be there needs to be a level of bipartisanship to get past the healthcare crisis at the very least. All right? What is the plan the morning after you've touched the Bible? What is the plan to take the people out of the rain from under the veranda?
Well, I'd say this, if you listen to our leader, Mr. Davis, and our deputy, Jess Cooper, our leader from last year during the pandemic was encouraging the government, one, free vaccination and free tests for people right now to help our people. That is the only way you could be able to manage this pandemic.
That won't take the people off the
veranda. No.
What are we going to do about those people?
But see, this is the thing here. We would have put those measures in place to prevent what has transpired now.
Sure, I get that. I get that. But but we then pregnant.
Yeah.
The baby in there now.
Mm.
The people are, there are 133 of them, I think the number is. They are there. The hospital is teeming with people with COVID.
Both the hospitals are over in data.
The mitigating circumstances that you could have put in place will no longer work.
Mm-hmm.
Free testing at this point is a wonderful thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
That will not cure the challenge we have.
But Levan,
what is the plan to cure the problem? Do we cut the leg off? Do we stitch it? We've got to figure out a way how to stop the bleeding. It's bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Progressive Liberal Party's medical plan to get the people from out the rain, from under the veranda? Because that's going to be something you have to deal with in the morning when you become prime minister.
But no, Levan, with that, you have to take those in stages in terms that you have to get the people healthy. In order to get the people healthy, all right, you have to diagnose them whether they are COVID positive or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get them in, get them healthy, and then have them out to bring more people in.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying to you is this. We are now, we're inheriting, like you said, a pregnant woman and who is about to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
We did not control the circumstances, but we have to work with as best as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the nurses down the way, because mainly the nurses down the way will be understand. If I'm not mistaken, some of them are not even fully vaccinated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have a level right now of overworked nurses who are frustrated. And we have to work with them to give them confidence and to support them as best as we can so we could basically control, help people as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. To lessen this load as quickly as possible, quickly and as painless as possible. It's not going to be a painless process. You're going to have people who are going to be hurt. You're going to have people who are affected right now. And people right now are looking for medical assistance, particularly when people are fearful right now. Because in many instances, when persons, and this is something that we have to pay mindful of right now, we have also encouraged more education for our people. Because people are of the opinion, you catch COVID, in 14 days you'll be fine. No, the virus still exists in your system. And we must understand as a people that we have to become a lot more responsible and proactive in our decisions. The same thing with the government right now, helping to address our medical challenges at PMH right now. It's not going to be an easy situation, and it's not going to be a quick fix as it is right now. But we have to work with the nurses. We have to work with the doctors. We have to work with PMH to get the people in, to get them assisted, and get them out and bring more persons in. And that's not going to happen day one.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen over a period of time and through better management of it. That is what we have not been seeing right now. The management of it and also, too, running out of vaccines
mm-hmm.
is something I don't think that would happen under the Progressive Liberal Party government, particularly with this F&M government. When you had private organizations early this year who had offered to give this government COVID vaccines, in which they refuse to accept. Okay? So yet, Ivan, we find ourselves in this position right now where we don't have vaccines to help persons immediately right now. The only persons who are getting assisted is the persons who have the second dose of vaccines that your person's taking it right now. So this is the dilemma that we're faced with right now.
There's so many more questions I have because I want to talk to you about vaccine hesitancy, but I'm going to open the phone line. Is that my music? Yeah, we're going to a quick break. Don't move, caller. I see you on the line. Obi Robertson, yeah, he likes to talk. When he gets in the studio, I just have to see how much I can get out of him. But Obi, I know what y'all can do with vaccine hesitancy. Anyway, if you're tuning in, stay there. We'll be back.
Glory, oh, glory.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. Tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rats are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Tito, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Hello, I'm Jermaine Kemp, a patient care assistant at Sutherland Rehabilitation Center. I am one of many standing proudly on the front line of healthcare during the global COVID-19 pandemic, and I am vaccinated. I made the decision to get the AstraZeneca vaccine after attending an information session to learn more about it. I felt it was important to ensure that I did not spread the COVID-19 to my family, friends, and most importantly, my patients. My patients depend on me for their care, and I consider it a privilege to serve. I invite you to join me in keeping our clients, colleagues, and community safe by choosing to be vaccinated. We can do this, Bahamas. Together, we can beat COVID-19 one vaccination at a time.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller here. Obi Roberts, National Vice Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, is my guest. We're talking about all things politics today. I'm trying to see if I can get some answers out of Obi. I almost got him on the ground. I'm trying to wrangle him to the ground to see if I can get an answer. But let me open up the phone lines. 323-623-325-4316-325-4259. You can text me at 422-4796. Let's take the phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am great. Good morning. Levon, you know, you're my good friend. I always listen to you, Arvid, every day I possibly can. You're an intelligent young man.
I appreciate that.
Your political analyzation of the candidates and their performance and their possible outcome as it pertains to the PLP is a bit off and lopsided.
Okay.
So I would advise you on that subject. Let's stick to the being a great talk show host and not a poor political analyst. To my brother, Obi there, good show this morning. What I want to chime in on is an adequate defense of someone whom the constituency of Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador hold near and dear to their heart for a lot of reasons, and it goes way beyond politics. Okay? You have someone who, whether in power, out of power, with a seat or without a seat, has proven himself to not just the national constituency, the Tree Island constituency, but to individuals in those islands, irregardless of religion, creed, color, or political persuasion, who pours his heart out to them and wears his compassion on his sleeve. And that is why he's so endearing and endeared by the people of that constituency, you know, and the distasteful attack in our holy national shrine the other day left us with a very, very, very bad taste in our mouth. And it was just, we don't have words for it, you know. So what we need to do is basically look at what happened in these constituencies when the two parties are in power or out of power. Every major development in the constituency of Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador has been done when, one, the member of parliament is the member of parliament, and two, when his government is in power. If you look at Cat Island especially, we've been suffering from political mischief for quite some time. And when the Free National Movement government is in power, man, the baby goes with the bathwater. We have people now bragging about the water infrastructure. But let me remind everyone that what they are putting in Cat Island is a small percentage of the IDB loan that was approved for Cat Island, and it does not encompass the entire island, and neither does it primarily address the water needs for the most populated settlements and regions in that island itself. So don't be bragging about a reduced, watered down, whatever you want to call it. You know, we don't appreciate it. Give us what was earmarked to us by the former or previous administration, and let's go from there. So, OB, continue to hold their feet to the fire.
Appreciate you, caller. Text right here says, hey, Miller, Davis lied to the Bahamian people or swung them into believing that there would be a dissolution of parliament by July 27. By now, Bahamians should realize how he plans to govern with swinging and misinformation. This is not a good look, Brave, so stop it. I hear you, text writer. This here says, hi, who is your guest today, Miller? My guest is OB Roberts, vice chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Leaving two straight F&M, F&M, maybe four straight. OB, please know the F&M will win the next election. Miller, you ain't tired of these politicians. Mr. Robert has the mentality of his father's generation. Same old party politics where the people end up suffering. This here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Can you ask Mr. Roberts, will it be the PLP policy to promote national brands that manufacture locally that have the ability to export with existing businesses? Let me see if I could squeeze two more in, OB. Morning, bro. This Negro can't be serious. They might Tifa plan. Come on, if you don't understand the full setup of a plan, it's very difficult to implement. Plus, if they don't just change a format of it, come on, talk sense to me this morning. So someone is saying, OB, that, you know, don't worry about them Tifa the plan because it's your loan, and if they don't know how the mechanics of the plan work, they can't get it implemented in any event, so you should just tell it to the people. This one here says, good morning, Levin. And guess the FNM is in power now and the cow is starving. The FNM is campaigning on work that what the PLP did. The Point, Bahama, Airspace, and Bamzi. This one says, OB, I can't read that. This one says, tell your guests, he seemed to forget his leader is also not popular amongst the voters. Great show as usual, even. You know, no matter who we vote for, we the people get in swing. What I mean by that, they ain't checking for Bahamians. We have a leadership problem, not just in the Bahamas, but worldwide. Let's bring Papa back. What do you say to those people that say, that's Rick Bob? Man, y'all know Mr. Ingram almost 90, right?
Ivan, all of the callers or the texters, they're entitled to their opinion, and which respect due is that. But we also have a democratic process right now where you have a larger body of people right now feel quite different. You hear and see and feel the disenchantment that they are getting under this Free National Movement government who has failed them. Mm-hmm. Who has lied to them often and repeatedly over and over. A scandal-ridden F&M government. Let me remind them, okay? We have a sitting prime minister who sat next to someone who signed a heads of agreement document, forged someone else's name, Levi, in the name of an Oban deal that he's yet to provide an ample explanation to the Bahamian people.
It was the lying about it in Parliament part that bothered me.
It's so many different things that left first. Yeah. But Levi, tell me something. If you part of the military, if me and you go into a bank and forge someone else's name on a check, what do you think is going to happen to you and I?
There would be some jail time.
Okay. Nothing happened in any capacity in that. And thank God we had someone to videotape that signing of him forging someone else's name. We have the Town Center Mall matter that is more than 2+ years old that we have yet to get an explanation from the Prime Minister. When his former cabinet minister, who resigned after benefiting from that, clearly articulated that was a conflict of interest, and they knew it. And he wants to sweep that under the carpet as a people forget that. The people ain't forget nothing, Levi. When you come to power promising accountability and transparency, and you're talking about people going to jail, but yet you have your cabinet ministers who have been found and condemned judicially by their actions in one particular court case of their involvement, okay? When they themselves, when you go around the world and telling people that we have a corrupt society, and then you find out that members of your own cabinet have been doing some skullduggery stuff that left people scratching their heads. All right? People have seen this Free National Movement government, and particularly Dr. Minnis, who seems to have a blatant disregard of Bahamian people when we ask him questions. You see how he treats the press. He doesn't answer questions, but yet now he wants to come to the Bahamian people and say, give him another chance.
Well, Darren Enfield said he's the best prime minister in the history
of
Bahamas.
And that's the same man who had in the clouds as well. All right. But this, and then the biggest indictment on our prime minister, or one of the biggest ones, has been what he said less than a couple months ago. If given another opportunity, this time he would address the poor people. Oh, what kind of nonsense is that, Levon? When it's the poor people who vote you in large numbers. So it clearly, he admitted who he was pandering to in his special interest groups this term, which is not the majority of the Bahamian people.
OB, I hear my music in my headset, which means I'm out of time. Thank you for coming. Let me read this one before they curse me. They say, morning, the PLB needs to start putting shovels in the ground months before the election. Start and finish small projects in your term. Don't be slack. Davis has a poor record. Imagine him running the whole country. Well, there you have a text writer. Now you don't have to kill me because I read your text message, all right? Anyway, that's my time. I'm Levon Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Obi Roberts was with me this morning.
My pleasure.
But don't move. Guardian Radio's got news, and it's next.
True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on.